Corinthians chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Thank you for being in the services today. I have enjoyed all of the good singing once again. I've always counted it an honor and a privilege to be here when you honor your pastor and pastor's wife and their ministry here over the years, 28 years now. And it has always delighted and thrilled my heart when you give them those big checks. If there's anybody here in the building that down deep you resent that and you don't like that and, you know, you scoff at that and you say, and you don't like it, you need to repent.
Yes, sir.
Need to get right with God.
Yes, sir.
You need to ask God to take that out of your heart.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that when a man of God is a man of God, and he leads the church well, and he labors in word and doctrine,
yes,
that he's not only to be paid, he's to be paid well, and he's to be paid with double pay, double honor. Churches just obeying God, they're not worshiping a man, they're just obeying God and what God said to do and how a preacher is to be treated and how a pastor is to be honored for faithful service. So if anybody sits here and, you know, you got some kind of angst in your heart about that, and you know, well, that's the way they do it down here at Appleby Baptist. Now you need to get rid of that.
Yes, sir. Right.
What happened here today is precious. It blesses my heart. Every church ought to do it. I don't know of any other that does, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you do. God has blessed you for doing it, and He will bless you for doing it. So I rejoice and I honor the service of your pastor and pastor's wife here, along with all of you. And thank God for the good testimonies, good songs, good meals, good everything. It's all been good. So you will have a song service or the first part of the service. And then the pastor saying, you just come on and take all the time you want. And he doesn't mean that. He don't mean that no more than anything in the world. And when he says it, everybody says, amen, yeah, that's right. And you don't mean it either. And I know you don't mean it. So let's just be clear. I'm not naive, okay? It's the right thing to say, but we don't mean it. Amen. What time, Brother Darrell? I think you're the honest one in the building. What time y'all normally get out of here on Sunday morning?
Sir, about 1 o'clock. Go ahead.
No, that ain't true. No, now I know there's no honest people here this morning. Is there an honest person in the building? Any honest people here? Yeah, one of you kids. One of you kids, what time y'all get out on Sunday usually?
12.
Well, all right. Thanks, Brother Mark. There is an honest man here. 12. Well, I have no 9-minute sermons. I can't even get my thoughts focused in 9 minutes. So, you know, that's pretty typical, 12 o'clock. So, yeah, okay. So Romans chapter number 1, what about 20 minutes? Is that good? Does that sound good? Can we do that? All right, Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I've been talking to you about knowing God. Got anybody here this morning that hadn't been here already this week? All right, so you all know what I've been talking about, and you don't need much refreshing. Knowing God. I've called it the epistemology of theology. Epistemology is the study of how you know what you know. How do you know what you know is right, real, true, and truth? How do you know that you know? Theology, of course, is a study of God. So we're studying about knowing God, how you can know God. And how that you know God, who is real, right, true, and truth. It's not enough to think we know, or hope we know, or even feel we know. We need to know that we know God. So I said last night, number one, you do know God. You know. And I talked about three things that prove you do know God. You don't need a Bible to know those three things. You don't even need religious faith to know those three things. You just know those three things. You know. Number one, you do know God. Now, for about 15 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about how you don't know God. Number two, you don't know God. Paul is explaining for us people who simultaneously do know God, but also don't know God. Paul is describing for us some people who, though they do know God, they turn from what they do know about God. And their minds become darkened and foolish. They profess themselves to be wise, but they are steadily becoming fools, and bigger and bigger and bigger fools. And they don't want to retain God in their knowledge, verse 28. In other words, they don't want to know what they know. They don't like what they know and try to get rid of what they know. Some people try to unlearn what they have always known that they never learned. Are you tracking with me? And so there is a process of sin in the human heart and human mind that if we are not careful, we will progressively be moving from a state of knowing into not knowing what we have always known. Do you think that's happening in America? Let's cut a little closer to the corn. Do you think that's happening in churches? If you repress and reject and rebel against what you know that you know, God will oblige you and allow you to move further into darkness away from the light of the knowledge that you have always possessed since your birth. The Bible warns us three times that God will give people up if they don't want to know what they know. If you don't like what you know, you don't want to accept what you know, then God will give you over. God will give you up to what is called in verse 28 a reprobate mind. You will think that you are getting smarter and smarter, wiser and wiser, all the while you're getting dumber and dumber. Think about it. You know, some people used to be pretty smart. They used to have pretty good sense about them. And they get more educated and more educated and more educated and more educated, and they just get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber.
Yes, you're
right. Yes, you're exactly right. Have you ever noticed some preachers get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber? I mean, some men start out pretty good. They're pretty solid when they start out preaching. They believe the Bible. They believe what the Bible said. They'll preach on sin. They'll preach on hell. They'll preach on the judgment of God. They'll preach on the lordship of Jesus Christ. They'll preach on God's moral commandments. They'll preach on Christian devotion, separation, discipline. And they'll preach it pretty straight and pretty true when they get started out. And they'll keep studying, keep preaching, and they'll go along years and years and years, and they'll get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. You know, Billy Graham started out pretty good, pretty strong, pretty straight, pretty true. You know, it's possible to believe more, know more, and preach more when you get started than you do when you finish. When you finish, you don't know nothing, and you ain't sure about nothing, and you can't say nothing about nothing because you just don't know anymore. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a lot of churches. There was a lot of churches. 30 years ago when I started preaching, every church, I'm talking about all the First Baptist churches in our area, I'm talking about all the big city churches in our area, 30 years ago, every single preacher preached the gospel to some degree, had some standard. There was similarity. Some of our convictions may have been a little different in some ways. Some of those preachers may have been a little more refined and a little more polished and a little more polite and a little less rude, but we was all preaching the same thing and we was all preaching from the same version of the Bible. I'm not talking about 300 years ago. I'm talking about 30 years ago. You know, some churches, they just get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. The Bible consistently teaches us that if we respond to the life that God has given to us, the truth that God has given to us, He will graciously and mercifully give us more light and more truth. But the same Bible tells us that if we don't respond or we reject the light and the truth that is given to us, God will take what light and truth we have away from us, and we will move further and further and further into the darkness until we no longer know what we have always known our whole life. Do we not see that happening in every fabric of society today? What is happening to the church in America? What is happening to the America that we live in? We are being handed over to a reprobate mind. Things that we all know and that we've always known and that we know from birth. We no longer seem to know. We know, but no, we don't know. I'm giving you the title at the end of the sermon this morning, No, You Don't Know. You ever said that to somebody, sometime one of your kids say, you know, I know, and you say, no, you don't know. You try to talk to some people about God. You try to talk to some people about the Word. You try to talk to some people about their life and about death and about hell. Oh, I know. I've heard it all before. No, you don't know. No, you don't know. Because all of your life you have been moving further and further and further away from what you do know into a state of what you don't know. Some people know more when they're 5-year-old than they do when they're 50 years old. There is a danger. Some of these kids, 5, 6 years old, know more about God, know more about truth, know more about right and wrong right now than they might when they're 50 years old if they are not very, very, very careful. Are you listening to me? Every one of these politicians that we are so disappointed in. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, Obama. You know, back in the early years, they said, no, you can't have same-sex marriage. You look at their policies through the years. Are y'all with me? Look at the policies of even some of our Republican legislators. A decade, two, three decades ago, they said, of course you can't do that. Of course you can't do it. Of course you can't take away gun rights. Of course you can't do it. And now look at them. Moving further and further and further into the darkness. That's what's being described in Romans chapter number 1. Moving from a state of you do know to a state that you don't know. And it is your own fault because you hold the truth in unrighteousness. You change the truth of God into a lie until God gives you up to a reprobate mind. And you begin to engage in all manner of moral evil and iniquity. Moving further and further into the darkness, getting dumber and dumber and dumber every day of your life. Are you with me? Let me give you a warning this morning. Whatever you do know, hold on to it. Obey it. Whatever light God has given you, yield to it and say, thank you, Lord. And He will give you more light. And if you respond to it, you will continue to move further and further into the light. You will get wiser and wiser, smarter and smarter. But let me warn you folks, you've been raised in church. Let me warn all you young people. Let me warn you folks here who are not right with God. Let me warn you people here this morning who are not following on to know the Lord. That's what Hosea warned the people about. Following on to know the Lord. Some of you are arguing with God and with His Word, and you're playing with sin in your life, and you're not all out for Jesus, and you're walking a very fine line tonight. And if you're not careful, God will give you up. He'll let you have what you want. And some of you that want God to leave you alone, and one of these days He will. And you'll move further and further and further and further into the darkness until you have no light at all. And you don't even know what you know anymore. Let's stand and bow our heads and close our eyes. We're waiting before God in these moments. Respond to the light that you have. Move further into the light. Take what you know and follow on to know the Lord more and more and more and more. Think about all the people you've known through the years. They once believed the Bible. They were in church. They were faithful. They were trying to serve God. They had a good family and a good marriage and raising good kids. And look at them. They ain't been to church in years. Marriage fell apart. The kids are on drugs and dope. They've come out of the closet. They don't know what sex they are now. Used to be in church. Now they're addicted to pornography. Pornography's led them into adultery. No, you don't know. Pastor, you come while we're waiting before God in these still moments.
Let's have our musicians come, our song director, as we get ready to sing an invitation song, as we're praying and asking God. Maybe God's tugging at your heart, strain your heart this morning as He knocks upon you. song. We hope you'll respond accordingly. Father, thank you now for the good message, the good word of the Lord, and the Spirit of God that leads and guides and directs us into the truth. Thy word is true. Bless, I pray now, this message to every heart that's here. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 375.
375, you need to come. Come quickly while we sing.
Thine
own way. If he calls on one more deadhead to preach, I want you to pull it out and shoot me with it. But then one night I got a call, and Brother Sam was over there around living in Fairfield and going to church over at Teague. He said, after the first night, he said, there's a preacher over here you're going to want to hear. And sure enough, I said, I'll be there, Lord willing, tomorrow night. So we were. That's how that came about. So thank you, Brother Sam, for knowing what kind of preaching and all of that right there. Good service, good service. Let's get ready to go to the Lord and ask the blessings upon this service.